Welcome, Pekka. Pekka, hyvä.
Hey, it's good to be here. Terve.
Terve. And by the way, today in it's not only I should say this given the fact that Pekka is just about 98 kilometers north of me. We today have not only the 24th of February, meaning the anniversary and the commemorative day of the 2 years of the full-scale unmerited Russian invasion of Ukraine, but it's also today Estonian Independence Day. So to everyone from Estonia currently listening in and to our Finnish friends, head Eesti Vabariigi aastapäivä. So, and with that being said, Pekka, thank you very much for joining us. Jochen and I were just discussing here in the past hour with our wonderful audience here as to the many narratives and the meandering complacency of Western elites. But in this meandering complacency of those and their behavior, there's also many, many individuals who simply are either deliberately or by corruption, simply nothing else than either agent provocateurs, agents, or gullible, useful idiots. Now, you've been, in the last 2 years, charting them. You've been going through them. You've made it a mission with a team of people to highlight this. Who is currently your most favorite Vatnik?
Yeah, I don't think favorite is the right word, but I still feel
who's
like...
Most prolific, most
I think I was asked... So what is my favorite Vatnik soup? And I would like to say Ian Miles Chong, because I think most people who are on X/Twitter know him. And just because you can see the kind of trajectory from him, of him being this kind of a person who nobody cares about, who doesn't get any recognition, and then he becomes this contrarian pro-Kremlin figure, and suddenly he's huge. So, of course, there's probably some kind of artificial inflation also on his account, but it's still like this. He took this contrarian position so that he would be recognized and so that he would get, I don't know, attention. And I mean, eventually he became an RT journalist. And what's the guy is best known for criticizing so-called woke culture in the West and especially in the United States. So he's a very harsh critic of American culture. But the guy is actually Malaysian and he's never even set his foot in the United States soil. So it's just it's a ridiculous character who should be ridiculed. I mean, indefinitely and forever.
Absolutely. And he unfortunately has been a vital part in the chain of disinformation because he has been so active and gaining so many followers who like to fall into the trap of this kind of contrarianism, as in, don't believe them, they're not telling the truth, and constantly seeding doubt. And this seeding doubt and seeding discord is one part of the disinformation campaign. But at the same time, there are very, very highly educated people amongst the Vatniks you've been chartering and going through, and who still, for various good reasons or bad reasons, are corrupting themselves and trying to convince others, whether it is politicians and media personalities in Portugal, people in Britain, in Sweden, in Finland, we have them everywhere. So what is the best recipe to spice up the soup and go against them from your perspective, other than the cold light of day and transparency?
I mean, transparency is, of course, the number one. The thing that I usually try to, that is probably the essence of so many soups, is the hypocrisy. The lies and the hypocrisy of these people. If you go back to Ian Miles Chong, I mean, the hypocrisy of him criticizing the United States without even kind of being part of the culture or the society. But for many, many, there are different reasons. But hypocrisy and greed are usually at the essence of being somebody who I refer to as a Vatnik. So there are a lot of, like Gerhard Schröder is a politician who's just probably driven by greed. By going into these Nord Stream projects and becoming a board member in Russian companies, huge companies, and just making money out of the whole thing without giving a single thought to the suffering of the Ukrainians. So yeah, hypocrisy and greed are at the essence of being a Vatnik in my view.
I think both Jochen and I could add to the fact that Gerhard Schröder is someone who was actually convinced of his mission, not unlike Olaf Scholz, who succeeded him. But Gerhard Schröder, older that he was a very active member of the Sozialistischer Deutscher Studentenbund and was always very much pro-Russian. And shall we say, his career followed a very nicely curated path. Jochen?
Yes.
Jochen can still hear us. Jochen. Jochen,
yes, I'm here.
What do you say? Gerhard Schröder's path was one which was begun. I mean, I quite agree with Pekka that he has exploited this capability and has exploited it for say, personal purposes and greed and money as always, but he did start very ideologically, didn't he?
He did, and he went over to a different ideology, which is this consumption über alles thing that I just mentioned, when his old ideology seemed to become meaningless at the end of the Cold War. So he was this guy, this German politician who had pictures taken in Brioni clothes with a cigar. He was the Genosse der Bosse, the comrade of CEOs, who really saw this Russia deal, this Putin deal, just as an extension of his politics as business behavior. So yeah, it's a fantastic example, I agree.
All right. Gentlemen, Pekka, Jochen, if you allow, we have two hands up, both from our friend and one of our, say, founding co-hosts with me here, Maciej, as well as Wardogo from Ukraine. We'll go to Ukraine first, quickly. Wardogo, Anton, please.
Thank you, my dear. It's absolutely a pleasure to hear you, Pekka. It's absolutely a pleasure to hear an honored guest today speaking about the important things. Oh, I cannot stop repeating the same since I've learned that taking a class in Kiev University on countering the informational warfare and having a certificate in that. Look, if you take the whole list of ministers, public officials, different people who were in government representation of Ukraine back in 2010, and you put a mark, who from this, apologize for using the word bastards today, is in Russia, and you just put a mark on the list, you can imagine and understand the whole problem Ukraine was in back in 2010s. And many were in those times saying, hey, you know what, Ukraine doesn't have a chance if they would see that list, and they will understand how much was the problem. And by the way, I think for you would be very interesting to know that the term Ukrainian Nazis is something that appeared back in 2010 during the election process in Ukraine. That was one of the dirtiest elections that I actually remember, not only in Ukraine, by the way. And you know what? There were three polittechnologists from Russia doing their job in Ukraine in those times. And one of them, he called himself a good friend of Ukraine. He called himself Marat Gelman. And he is like artist, expert. But he was actually the one, thanks to him, on Ukrainian streets, there were the billboards saying Ukrainians are, there are three different sort of Ukrainians, and calling Ukrainians Nazis. That's from where it actually started. That's from where it appeared. And no doubt, you're pretty much sure that Russians were behind that. Again, back in 2013, Ukrainian society, We Are Revolution of Dignity, showed its ability to defend its civilization choice that is set towards Europe, and showing the middle finger to all Russian technologies and technologists that were used in Ukraine to enslave and colonize. And the same happened in 2022, in actually February 24th, 2022, which we commemorate, I would say, not like celebrating or making a fast, obviously. To be honest, I don't feel any emotions about neither the date, neither nor for all of the things happening, because you can imagine being Ukrainian and having part of my family originating from Bucha. The only emotion I would feel, those are not the best emotions, and I made my internal agreement to skip all of them till the moment of victory, and then I feel all the colors of all the emotions I have. Pekka, did you know about Marat Gelman? And do you know anything about the guy? Because he's interesting and important, because this scouting to back in 2010 history of Ukraine gives a beautiful lesson of what's gonna happening in Europe and what's happening today in Europe and other countries all over the globe, because Russians are using the same playbook. They never changed because they didn't receive a proper pushback on that. What do you think?
Yes, sorry, I'm having some network issues. I'm in a question. Can you repeat the name of the person?
Marat Gelman.
Marat Gelman. Okay, I've never heard of that name before. It's I start thinking about how the whole separatist issue and so on was kind of formulated. I always think of Ladislav Surkov, the book who basically was or whole thing in east of Ukraine, eastern Ukraine, and so on. So the whole plan to me kind of comes over Surkov, but maybe you can send me this name, because it's I've never heard of it. It would be interesting to do a little dig,
yeah,
on the person.
Absolutely, absolutely, my friend. And I've been doing a post about it on my previous account, but unfortunately, some Russians complained and my account was blocked without any warning or explanations. You guys can follow my account. Just I'm trying to recover the audience and those people whom I've been listening and whom I've been following and who followed me. But definitely, I will copy paste the tweet, because I still have the access to the account, and I will do it from this account as well, and I will share you in the DM so you can have it straight right away.
All righty.
All right. Sorry, actually, go on.
No, it's okay. Pekka, before we go to Marcin, and mindful of the fact that you have network trouble there, one more thing which came up. How many times did you have to repost your Elon Musk Vatnik soup in order and your image in order to still get some traction? And has that led to any kind of suppression?
I don't think so. I don't think Elon is suppressing anything. I still, but I want to believe it's a bug rather than a feature. I mean, of course, he's a petty guy. You never know. He probably gets much criticism from other people than me, but I've known that if you want to be if you want to get Elon's attention, you start criticizing. When you go after his money, then he becomes mad, because he suspended a lot of accounts, criticized or commented to, for example, Tesla's board of directors about Elon's. If you take this approach, then you will definitely get suspended from X / Twitter, because it's just I think in many ways Elon actually he reads a lot of the criticism he gets. I think he's muted me. I know he doesn't see any of my. He doesn't block anyone, but he mutes people. But if you start going after his businesses, then things will happen.
Yeah, and if you go after and then discloses the movements of his plane, evidently that also is not very good. I understand. All righty.
Yeah, of course that. Yeah.
Let's go to our friend Maciej. Maciej.
Yeah, hello everybody. It's great to be here. Of course, it's a sad anniversary, but first of all, Pekka. It's great to have you here, and I have to commend you on your work, because I have to say that what you have created is actually a quite useful resource for me as a conservative but anti-Russian journalists from Poland, because when I write about many politicians, for example, my articles, one of the resources I use is I often do the Google search when I write the person name, and I write next to the name Vatnik Zub. So I search for the resources that you search. So that is as this space is, that is one of the highlights of us living in the internet age. But because I'm a conservative, I wanted to ask you a question about your politics, because the thing that I'm wondering, and I was just writing an article about the anniversary, and I was looking at different stats, and many people have forgotten that in many polls in early March 2022, Republicans were actually more enthusiastic about helping Ukraine. And of course, there were slight differences in those polls, but in some of the polls, Republicans actually have higher support for supporting Ukraine than the Democrats by few percentage points. And I'm wondering if, of course, the large amount of responsibility for that the stats changed lays with the Republican politicians, for example, and isolationists and Tucker Carlson and the whole lot. But I wonder if the other side is sometimes gets a free out of jail, or however you call it, card, because they are the things that the rightist putschniks or vatniks say are so outrageous that it's easy to hide behind them. I'm even thinking about Radosław Sikorski, who actually had a great speech at the UN, had a great interview with Bloomberg, and I support him for the things he said. But at the same time, if you listen to him in Polish media, he, for example, says that our reset with Russia in 2009-2010 till 2011, he says he believes Putin wasn't anti-Western, that this reset was actually a good thing that we were doing. So for me, it's he's much more smart when it comes to his approach to Russia. He says the things that are not outrageous, that the international media will not jump on them. But in the past, he was an apiznik, and he still defends his position from that time. So that's my question. Is the focus on the right side of the political aisle, first of all, gives the other side of the political aisle a free out of jail card? And second of all, if some of the things that are done in this discussion aren't pushing away people who are conservative but are also believing in NATO and things like that? Thanks.
I don't want to make this too political. I don't want to talk too much about left, right, because it really varies by country. So what is, for example, if you compare Finland with the United States, kind of right-wing conservative in Finland is very much central left in the United States when you kind of make the comparison. So it's kind of, there's so many big differences between countries that it's very difficult to make this kind of distinctions. But what has happened, what I have realized, I would maybe summarize it in a way that talk is cheap. So for many people like Italy's Meloni, she has been giving these really aggressive, fiery speeches about how we have to defeat Putin and so on. But then when you look at what they're actually doing, Italy is not much. I'm not going to say not much, but not enough. They could do so much more. And there's a lot of talk, a lot of politicians try to score points by supporting Ukraine. So they gave out these very big speeches about praising of Ukrainian heroism and so on. So, and we have to stand with Ukraine until victory and as long as it takes and so on. But now that it's kind of taking much longer than they probably anticipated, many of them are moving to other things and so on, or just there is no commitment. There may be still this kind of rhetoric, a lot of talk coming from politicians, but there's no action. There should have been more action 2 years ago, probably even before that, when people were kind of, it was already evident that Russia is planning something, but Europe especially is waking up so slowly that it's just ridiculous. And I mean, now would be the time to kind of use all means to assist Ukraine. But if you look at the support, it's kind of slowing down quite a bit. Some countries are stepping up with the production, but some are kind of moving on to the background and not even talking about it that much anymore. So I've said it before, I have quite low trust in politicians in general, because they usually make politics. They usually think about next elections, or they think about gaining more votes for their party or for themselves. So it's like trusting politicians is very difficult for me, because I've seen it so many times that they kind of let people down. So, I mean, I want to see more action. That's something that I really want to see. And I don't think anybody really has gotten off the hook, because somebody told me that, I mean, this year will be like a big year for elections. So this year shows maybe how people kind of side when it comes to Russia and Ukraine. So I'm expecting quite a bit from that, not from this year, when it comes to elections. We have the European Parliament elections and so on. So that's a long, long ramble. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I don't think anybody got off the hook. I think we still... Yeah.
But... you know, for me, and I accept and I respect the fact that you don't want to get into politics, and that is also the name of this space. But what I'm wondering is that politicians, I think, also are using condemnations for the other side without action on their side. So they can, like, it's really, you know, comfortable to say, well, if not for those crazy isolationists and Republicans and the whole team, we could do so much for Ukraine. But still, for example, Biden has tools in his hand that he can help Ukraine more. And when the support was waning, also politicians in Europe that were supporting vocally Ukraine and politicians in US that were supporting vocally Ukraine were waiting and wasting time when the support was really, really high, right? So that would be just the addendum to what you're saying, but I agree with you completely.
Yeah. So I'm extremely frustrated with Biden and the lack or the inability to assist Ukraine after he has said that there is commitment so many times. But I mean, it's just politics, and you cannot really rely on this. And there's probably a lot of factors that we are not even aware of behind all this. But I mean, what I would like to now see is a unified kind of alliance in Europe that fully supports Ukraine, because we are the ones who told them that you can be part of Western democracies, you can be part of our union. And now we should really do something to help them, because the whole country is being demolished by a genocidal Russia. So there should be some kind of... yeah, we should do something much, much more. This is my message. And unfortunately, I don't have much more time. I don't have more time to do this anymore. But I think you have a lot of guests coming in, and I think you're going to have a great space.
Absolutely. Much appreciated. And Pekka, thank you for stopping by. I know it's the weekend and you've been booked to the hilt, and you need also a good rest. Thank you for all your engagement. Thank you for the support of Ukraine and freedom. And look forward to speaking to you soon again.
All right. Thank you. And if you have more questions to me, you can just send me a DM. I'll try to. I have a pretty... Yeah. So thanks, everybody. And have a great day. Let's keep on supporting Ukraine.
Kitos.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Kitos. Bye-bye.